Morning, everyone. I hope we feel all thankful to be here in the house of the Lord. We're small in number, but I like the quality of who we have with us this morning. We had a good meeting in Lubbock the last couple of days up there at the West Texas Fellowship that was started by this church, as Gary mentioned a while ago. And so we had a good meeting. The church asked both Brother Joe and Brother Gary to speak, and I thought they both did very well and had lots of good comments on their efforts. When you get up here, a lot of times you feel like sometimes you fall on your face and fall flat, and we find that the Lord has a way of delivering those messages sometimes to people who may need them. You may not realize that your words are being used and as they are, and that's kind of where I'm going to begin today with one of the great sermons of the Bible that are detailed in the Bible, and that's in Acts chapter 2. Now, that's not my theme, my subject matter. My subject matter is over in Isaiah chapter 26, and I'm going to go to it in just a minute. But I want to start in Acts chapter 2 with the sermon on the day of Pentecost. There's several good sermons in the Bible. Sermon on the Mount, it's hard to get past that. A lot of the teachings of Christ that are good sermons. Apostle Peter certainly preached on the day of Pentecost a great sermon. And the book of Acts is full of several good of the Apostle Paul sermon. You know, especially when he does his missionary journeys, you got a good sermon to the church at Antioch, the church at Ephesus, the church at Thessalonica. Paul lays out a lot of good doctrine. He preached also to King Herod Agrippa and to Festus and laid out the doctrine really well. It's a pretty good basic doctrine. I love the 17th chapter of Acts where he preached at Athens on Mars Hill because it involved not only doctrine but strategy. He had to preach to those people as he found them. And he talked to a bunch of atheists and then people who not only opposed to it, but also then are what I call the feel-good doctrine of today. It's okay to feel good, and there's things in the air and nature. If you've ever been to Sedona, Arizona, people go out there to worship the mountains because they feel like God is in the mountains and the trees and the things. And so that's who was at Acts. In at 17th chapter of Acts at Athens, Paul, that's who Paul was speaking to, and he preached to them using their God. You couldn't create a new God in Athens against law, so he preached to the unknown God that they worshipped. He told them who that unknown God was. Wonderful strategy, but Apostle Paul shows us you preach to people as you find them. It's what Brother Joe and Brother Gary and I were talking a little bit about this morning, and Brother David was with us about. Not only, you know, do you have to preach the full counsel of God, and as Joe indicated yesterday, that sometimes that means being the messenger of not good news, because you got to sometimes preach things that people don't want to hear, and I hear sometimes stuff I don't want to hear, and then after it's over, I realize I really did need to hear that. But the messages that need to be preached, and Paul, in second chapter of Acts, we have the day of Pentecost was fully come. Let me just skim over a little bit. First of part of chapter 2, the day of Pentecost was come. And we know that the Holy Ghost visited on the apostles and filled them with the Holy Ghost and allowed them to speak in tongues. They walked out and spoke to these thousands of people that were there at the day of Pentecost. They spoke in their own language, and we had people, I believe, I hadn't counted them up here. It's over here in verses 9, 10, 11, we had like, I think, 17 countries. So they all spoke different languages. Each one of them heard the apostles speaking in their own language. One apostle could be speaking, and yet when the Holy Spirit got to translating it, it translated into 17 different languages. You know, if I could speak in English and somebody in French could understand me, and they were hearing it in French, and somebody could be hearing it in German, that type of thing was what was going on there. And that's what was taking place. And it says everybody, verse 12, everybody was amazed. It says, what means this? And in verse 13, it says, well, but there were others mocking them, saying, these men are full of new wine. These men are drunk. Apostle Peter was preaching to them, and some people heard it. And some people said, I hear what they're saying. These guys must be drunk. They're all speaking in different tongues, which means they didn't understand it. We go through there in verse 14. It starts off with Peter's great sermon on the day of Pentecost. I'm not going to go through that. I just want to preach. He did preach a great sermon, and it's a great one to read. It's a great one for ministers to read because he does preach there. And all of these in the Bible that I pointed out are wonderful sermons to go read because you get the concept that we're to preach Christ and Him crucified. Every one of these sermons I mentioned talks about Christ and him being crucified. But he gets over here to the end of the sermon. Apostle Peter does it, verse 36 of Acts 2. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's letting them know, you had him crucified, but he is both our Lord and our Christ. Verse 37, now when they heard this, now a lot of people heard it physically, and a lot of people had ears to hear it spiritually, and so the people that heard it, and this is, he's talking about those that heard it spiritually, those that actually heard it, they were pricked in their hearts. Something hit them. What Peter said resonated in their hearts. They were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, you'll have a lot of the religious doctrines that believe in Arminianism. You're saved by works. This is one of the things they teach. We're to repent and be baptized, and then we'll have our sins forgiven of us. And this is how you save yourself, is you go, you hear the gospel preached. That's why many of them have what we call the missionaries. They go out and they go on missions to preach the gospel so they can tell people to hear it, hear the gospel, repent and be baptized, repent and do good works. And that's how you get your salvation. Look at verse 39. Peter tells them, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Peter limits it there, doesn't he? About this is, you know, you'll repent and be saved, and it's to everybody, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Peter said it's really going to affect those that the Lord has called. It may not affect everybody. And we know that. We look back. Remember, there were some people that thought they were preaching. They were preaching drunk, and they could hear them, but they didn't really have ears to hear them spiritually. And verse 40, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. And you'll hear the people that we call the Arminians who believe in salvation by works. They'll say right there, Apostle Peter tells you, go save yourself. What did Peter tell them they're to be saved from? Are they to be saved for eternal salvation? That's not what Peter tells them. Save yourself from this untoward generation. We're to save ourselves from the problems of the world. When we do this, when we follow his commandments and do him, take care of him, I mean follow him and take care to follow his commandments, love him with all our heart, mind, and soul, and love our neighbors ourselves, then we are saving ourselves. He is a rewarder of those that seek after him, diligently seek after him. And Apostle Peter tells them, save yourselves today and tomorrow. Save yourselves from the problems of this world. Save yourselves from the other things that's going on in the world. That's what he's telling them here. Verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and that same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. 3,000 were added to the church that day. And if you'll notice, it says added to the church. That means the church already existed. We believe it was started back. Of course, you know, I believe the church started the day John the Baptist baptized Christ. That was the day the church began. That was the day baptism began. And we know that's how you get into church. That was the first baptism of of the head of the church by John the Baptist. So we have Apostle Peter here preaching one of the great sermons, and this is one of the sermons that is used many times by people say you have to save yourself. And so it's used quite often, like I just told you, I don't think it means what they think it means, and I think it says that in there. They could save themselves, but those that were saved, pricked in the heart, were those that it were as many as the Lord our God shall call. Who was Peter preaching to that day? Was he preaching to everybody? There were more than 3,000. 3,000 joined the church. But there were a bunch of others, we know, that thought these apostles are drunk. They didn't hear it, didn't believe it. And included among that bunch would be some of those that the Lord did not call, hadn't called. Now, who was Paul preaching to that day? This is where you have 3,000 here that joined the church. People tell you, well, there was 3,000 souls that were saved that day. What we have here that people get confused of, they get confused between regeneration and converted. I'll tell you, and I feel certain that there were 3,000 converted that day. They were already regenerated, or they couldn't have been preached to. And the difference, they get confused between the definitions of regeneration and conversion. Let's go back with me to Isaiah, and this is the subject matter, the theme. What I'm talking about, Isaiah chapter 26, verse 10. Y'all have all heard this one before at some point in time, I know. Verse 10 of Isaiah 26. Let favor be shown to the wicked, yet he will not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness he will deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Right here, Isaiah is telling us who to preach to and who it doesn't do any good to preach to. And here he's giving us on the negative side of this. Let favor be shown to the wicked. The wicked is clearly someone who's not regenerated yet. Whether they ever will be or not, I don't know. Apostle Paul, if you'd asked me at one point in time when he was Saul, I'd have said, he's a wicked man. He was persecuting people in the church. He was arresting them, carrying them in. Men, women, and children. It says he caused a lot of deaths among the church people. He was arresting people. He heard the gospel preached. He had to. That's what he was sent out to do. Go over and read chapters 8 and 9 of Acts, and let's say, he was issued by the Sanhedrin Council of High Priest Jews. He was issued arrest warrants, open-ended arrest warrants. That's what they were. Fill in the blank arrest warrants. He could go out, and if he heard the gospel preached, he would arrest everybody that was preaching it and heard it preached and haul them in, and he caused the death of a lot of people. He was a wicked man. He was an unregenerated man. That's what he was. We know that then he was regenerated on the road to Damascus. He was regenerated that day, and I think converted that day at the same time. Now, he got both of them, but he was regenerated. The Lord pierced his heart, circumcised his heart that day, struck him down. The Lord spoke to him in a very loud voice, but you notice nobody else on the road that day heard it. You go read that ad and over in chapter 22 where he talks about it. Apostle Paul could hear the Lord speaking, but nobody else could. They could hear Paul speaking. If you read both versions of that where Paul tells it, Acts 9 and over in Acts 8 and 9 and then over in 22, the Lord spoke to him in a loud voice, and that's the way the Lord can speak that way. He can speak very dramatic like he did Apostle Paul. He can also regenerate people like he did John the Baptist while you're still in your mother's womb. He can also speak to people like he did Elijah in a small, still voice. He can also speak to you in the middle of the night. I can't say that the Lord has ever spoken to me in a booming voice. I know that sometimes I'll be thinking and I'll wake up in the morning and I'll pray to the Lord and I'll wake up in the morning in a clear mind that the Lord has put something on my mind. He has changed me. I know that I have a change in my thinking from day to day, especially when I pray and ask for it, the Lord, I believe, visits me and puts it in my mind and puts it in my heart, and that's that small, still voice that the Lord puts on me. But here, Isaiah is telling us, let favor be shown to the wicked. That's the unregenerate people. Preach to them. Show them favor. Give them grace. That's what he's saying. Let grace be shown to the wicked. Let's just test this out. This is what people tell you. If the unregenerate could just hear people preach the gospel, if we could bring somebody in the back of this room and not been to church and just let me preach to them, I can save their souls. That's what they believe. That's not what Isaiah says here. Bring in a wicked man and preach to him. Preach to him, and it says here, preach to him, we show favor to him, and we can try to do favor to him. You're not going to make them happy. You're not going to make some people happy, even no matter how many favors you do for them. But the best favor you could do to anybody was preach Christ to them. Preach about Christ and him crucified. That's the best favor you could do anybody. That's the best. Give them grace. I'm going to give you a favor. I'm going to preach to you because I think you can be saved. What does Isaiah said? Let favor be shown to the wicked, yet he will not learn righteousness. You are not going to convince an unregenerate, regenerate person. No preacher, nobody can do that except the Lord. No man can do that, and that's what he's telling us. He will not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness, he will deal unjustly. We bring him into this church where we got righteous people, hopefully. We got good and righteous people. You put people in a good crowd. Change their environment, and this is what people will tell you. If you'll change their environment, put them in a good crowd, they'll become a good person. Isaiah said, no, they won't. They'll, in the land of uprightness, He will deal unjustly. He will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Number one, he's not going to hear you. He's not going to learn righteousness. Number two, put him in a good crowd, doesn't do any good. Put him in the hand. And number three, he's not going to uphold the majesty of the Lord. He's not going to pray to the Lord. He's not going to go to the Lord. The best we can do, preach the gospel to him, give him a Bible, put him around good people. Here, let him hear us pray. Not going to work. Isaiah said, it doesn't work. Why? Go back over to 1 Corinthians 2:14, where Apostle Paul tells us, let me quote this right so I get it right, 2 Corinthians, chapter 1 of Corinthians 2, verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now, he's saying it's the same thing that Isaiah is. The natural man, that's the unregenerate man. And we know in our natural state, we're wicked. There's no good in us. Can't be any good in us because we haven't been exposed to it. We don't know how to be good. We inherited the sinful nature of Adam. That's the natural man. He receiveth not the things of the Spirit. It's what Isaiah said. You can preach to him, it won't do any good. You can put him in a good environment, still doesn't do any good. And he won't observe the majesty of the Lord. He will not respect the Lord. It has no meaning to him. Says they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. What he's saying is, the natural man, unregenerated, cannot understand the gospel. It's foolishness to him, cannot understand it. Go over in John 8:47 and we learn that the natural, unregenerate man cannot believe the gospel. John 10:26, Christ tells us that the natural, unregenerate man cannot believe the gospel. 1 John 1:19 says, the natural man cannot love the Lord, because we don't love him until he loves us first. But on his own, he cannot love the Lord. We tell people to go out and get faith. You better go out and get faith so that you can be saved. You know, 2 Peter 1, verse 1 says, only place you get faith, from the righteousness of Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. You can't get faith. You can't love the Lord. You can't understand the gospel. You can't hear it. You can't believe it. How am I going to preach to somebody like that? You can't. And that's what we're learning. So you preach to those who have been regenerated. That's who Peter was preaching to that day. You preach to those that the Lord has gotten there first. You notice when I believe it was Stephen went out and found the Ethiopian out. Well, how did he find him? He found him reading the Bible. He went out there and he ended up baptizing him. Some people say he saved him that day. He got there and the Ethiopian was reading Scripture. If he was trying to save him, he got there too late, didn't he? The Lord beat him there. Apostle Paul, you could say he'd go out and try to save the Apostle Paul. But on the road to Damascus, the Lord got there before any other preacher did. Ananias came later. Remember, the Lord went and got Ananias and said, now go get him, take care of him, and baptize him. Go minister to him. That's what we're doing in the ministry. We go minister to him. You know, Apostle Paul was a wicked man. You could have brought him in the back of this room. Did he hear good preaching? Absolutely, he did. That was his job. Go out and find people preaching and listening to preaching and arrest them and bring them in. You know he was exposed to a lot of preaching. He didn't have the ability to understand it or hear it or believe it. He couldn't love the Lord. Couldn't do any of those things until the Lord regenerated him, made him born again. Call that born again or being called. Those are all the same thing, being called. Now, once you get somebody who's been regenerated, that's somebody you can preach to. That's who Peter was preaching to that day. There's some people there that have been regenerated. Some people hadn't. Those people regenerated were pricked in their hearts. It resonated in their hearts. You can see it here. I know I've got a gentleman that told me, he said, you know, he married his wife, and his wife took him to Primitive Baptist Church in Mule Sioux, Texas, and my dad was preaching. And he walked out that door mad that day. He talked to his wife, went home. It cannot be that way. It cannot be that God saves us and we don't have anything to do with it. It cannot be that way. He said, but he was going to go back next Sunday and listen again. Something resonated in his heart. Too good to be true, isn't it? So you got to go, let me go hear that and make sure I got that right. He's now a deacon in the church. He's joined the church and deacon church. He's a regenerated man. He can be preached to like Apostle Peter. And, you know, sometimes you get up here and you think, I'm not doing any good. But the Lord has the ability, like he did on Pentecost, to deliver the message to the people that he's regenerated. You're not going to regenerate somebody who's in the natural state. The Lord's got to put them. The Lord's got to put their heart in the right place. Then you can preach to them. Then you can regenerate them. And there's people in this world that have been regenerated that may never hear the gospel preached. What happened at Pentecost that day is they were converted. Now, regenerate people are subject to being converted. There's a lot of good people that are regenerated that are in other churches, that are Catholics and Lutherans and Presbyterians and Missionary Baptists and Church of Christ and all these other Methodists, all these other religions. There's good people there. They've been regenerated. They love the Lord. They can love the Lord, and they love to read the Scriptures. What they haven't been has been converted. They haven't heard the truth preached. They understand and they worship the Lord spiritually. They may not do it in truth. And you know, they're spirit and truth, and they love Him spiritually, but they haven't necessarily do it in truth. My dad used to tell me there's people in there, I used to hear him preach this, there's people in Africa that you can go over there right now and get off the plane, and there's people in Africa the minute they'd capture you and they would slit your throats. And there's a man standing right next to him who would come over and save you and nurse you and have compassion on you. Difference between the unregenerate and the regenerate. And the man that's good and compassionate, he's a child of God. He may not have ever heard the Bible preach. He may not have ever heard Christ preach. But he's a regenerated man. He's been born again. The Lord, the Spirit has visited him, and He has changed him. He has the ability now to accept and hear the gospel preached. And that's what Isaiah is telling us. So you're not going to be doing any good when you try to preach to someone who's not regenerated. Go back over there to the book of Acts, and Peter asked them, they ask, you know, these men that are asking this question, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, verse 37, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what do we do? You know, when you hear it, it's like Apostle Paul when he was struck down, Lord, what would you have me do? He never said that before. He never did that until the Lord visited him and regenerated him. Here, the people that hear, they're pricked in their hearts, and they said, what do you have me do? And he said, repent and be baptized. That's conversion. Now, some people that are regenerated, I don't know, may never be converted. They may not ever hear the gospel preached. You know, when over there you see that at 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked ways, I will hear them, I will forgive them, and I will heal them, heal their lands. He said, if my people which are called by my name, what does that mean? If my people which are called by my name, I suggest there's two groups of people there. What if I said, if all Texans who are members of the Midland Church, I'm talking all Texans, that's a big group, members of the Midland Church are a small group. If my people, he's got a lot of people, but those that are called my name is who he's talking to right there. If you'll humble yourselves and pray, that's because he's preaching to us and telling us what to do. And we'll get the blessings of life by doing that. We're going to be blessed, not with eternal salvation. He's already given us that. He's already given us eternal salvation, but he will bless us today and tomorrow if we humble ourselves and pray. He'll forgive us of our sins right now. Christ has already taken care of our sins eternally. But I sin today and I sin tomorrow. You think Christ has removed all my sins by dying for me? Boy, I'm in trouble because I keep sinning every day. My sins are not all gone. Before the day's over, I'm sure I'll think something or do something I shouldn't do. But he'll forgive your sins today. I'll forgive you today and bless you tomorrow. I'll bless you tonight. And that's what he's talking about in that prayer. He'll forgive us and he'll heal us. If I got problems myself, my family, my children, my parents, my church, my work, and I go to the Lord and pray, he'll forgive you. Lord, forgive me for chewing out one of my employees like I did. I had no reason to do that. And the Lord will forgive you. And you go to mix, and your employee forgives you too. And the Lord will bless you today and tomorrow. That's what he's talking about, and that's what that's about. When he's talking about save ourselves from this untoward generation that Peter preached about, he's preaching about conversion, converting us. I need to be converted every day. I need to be converted every day from my sins to following Christ. That's what he's trying. And that's what baptism is. Baptism is for me to prove I'm a follower of Christ. Prove it not only to me, but also the witnesses too, that I'm a follower of Christ. I'm saving myself today and tomorrow. That's not eternal salvation. That's what he's talked about over in Isaiah, lays the groundwork for it. You are not going to do any good with somebody who's not regenerated. Now you give me a regenerated person, And we can work on them. And the Lord helping me, we'll deliver a message to them and we'll prick them in the hearts. And then they'll be converted to a follower of Christ. That's what all this is about. You know, in the book of Matthew, and I think it's another one too, when Jesus told the apostles to come and follow him, drop your fishing poles. He told Peter and Andrew and John and James, y'all quit fishing and follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. Well, you go out and fishing. My dad used to use this as an example because we went one time to a trip to Arkansas. And going through there, driving through there, we passed this place that was fishing, a fishing place. You could go in and fish, and they guaranteed you didn't have a catch. Well, you know, we were city boys, small city, but we were city boys. We weren't really country people. And so we started beating on my dad, and he finally turned around and went back. And so we could fish. So we get in there and fish, and you get out there and look at the fishing pond, and it is full, packed full of fish. I mean, it's overloaded, and the fish are starving to death. They'd give you little kernels of corn and let you fish. Now, they had a sign up there. Now, it's like 10 cents an inch for every fish you catch. So, boy, I'd drop a fish in there, and, boy, I'd get one almost immediately. And me and my brothers, two brothers, we're pulling those fish out, and suddenly my dad goes, whoa, wait a minute. He sees the scam in that. But he said, you notice he didn't have you turn around and fish in the tank over here with dead fish in it. How many dead fish are you going to catch? Not going to catch any. And I can't catch any preaching to unregenerate sinners. Just like that. Now, if you got regenerated sinners, and there's nothing more fun than doing that when you have regenerated sinners and you're preaching to them, they'll take the hook and they'll bite it and they'll listen and they're pricked in the heart and they'll then say, yeah, what do I need to do? Need to be rebaptized. That's conversion. The Lord does the regenerating. We can play a role in the conversion. You can play a role in your own conversion. Get yourself baptized. Join the church. Get yourself baptized. Follow the Christ. Follow Christ. And then that's good works that you're doing then. That's what conversion is. And you can be a part of that. You can be a part of your own. You can be a part of ministering to somebody that's already regenerated. You're not going to do any good with those until the Lord has regenerated them. You go with me now to Romans. Book of Romans, and this is another 8th chapter of Romans. And all of you are familiar with this verse too. Beginning in verse 28 and 29. There's lots of sermons here that I'm skipping over this morning, but I will move along. And verse 28 it says, and we know all these things, and all things work together for good. Well, if you back up a few verses, you'll see what things he's talking about in there. He's talking about all the good works that we can do. If you do these works, that works, whatever. It says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Now, how do you love God? You can't love God until God lets you love him. To them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, so all things work good for those people who are regenerated and that are children of God. And then he goes in and it's for whom he did foreknow. When did the foreknow take place? Before the foundation of the world. For them who did foreknow, he also did predestinate. When did that take place? Before the foundation of the world. He knew you. He predestinated you. Your name is in the Lamb's book of life. Your eternal salvation is over with. And he says, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Right there, when you were predestinated, you were made in the image of Christ. Your place is secure. Your eternal salvation is complete and finished. Christ does the finished work for you. And everybody, as we heard yesterday, I can't remember who it was, says, how many people keep trying to finish what's already finished? In this world, we keep trying to finish and add some finishing touches to what Christ has already taken care of. You can't do that. He said, for whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate. Look at the order of these, to be conformed to the image that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Now, the Lord took place those first two before the foundation of the world. The calling takes place timely. Go over and read Jude chapter 1, verse 1 of Jude. And it said, you know, people, I'm writing those people that are sanctified by God the Father, preserved by Jesus Christ, and called. You're called by the Holy Spirit. Both in that case, sanctified and preserved are in the perfect tense. That means you were preserved, you're still preserved, you'll remain preserved. You were sanctified, you're still sanctified, and you're always sanctified. That's perfect. It's existing, it goes on now, and it goes on into the future. Called is in the present or past tense where the Lord determines when you're called. He called the apostle Paul, regenerated him, born again, when he was in his mother's womb. He did the Apostle Paul at age 27, 28, along in there, you know, in the middle of his activities that were sinful. He may do it when we're very young. He may do it when we're very old. With Apostle Paul, he did it very dramatic. But John the Baptist did it while in his mother's womb. With Elijah, we know he also speaks to people in a small, still voice. Apostle Paul needed a dramatic conversion. He was a bad guy, and he was open about it. He needed a dramatic conversion for the other people to see, for the Romans to see too, for the Romans and the Jewish priests. Most of us, I think, he speaks in a small, still voice. You wake up one day and you feel different. You think, I'm going to join the church today. I know I planned mine out for a couple of weeks. You know, I knew I was going to do it. But that decision came to me one morning when I woke up. I don't know why. I do know why. I didn't at the time. I don't know why it was on my mind. I just said, it's time for me to join the church. Been going a long time. I think I was 19. I didn't join church. Everybody giving up on me. My mother thought I was never going to join. I joined at 19, you know, and didn't tell anybody. I just walked up one day and joined. And it surprised everybody. But the Lord had put it on my heart. He put it on my mind to do that. And that's what he's talking about here. The Lord calls you. The Lord calls when he's ready. And then it says, and whom he called, he does the calling. Not us. We don't make ourselves born again. We don't regenerate ourselves. He does that. He called. Them he also justified. He justifies you in the sight of the Lord. We're sinners. You know, and we know we can't justify ourselves. We don't have the ability to do because we're all sinners. He does that. He justified us. And them he justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. You know, you got a set of dominoes here. Now, this is an example I should use sometime. You tip over that first domino and you get them all. If he foreknew you, he predestinates you, he will call you, and he will justify you, and he will glorify you. That all happens outside of your control. You don't have anything to do with any of those. None of them. You do have a role to play, and we have a role to play in conversion. We can help minister to somebody who's already been regenerated. That's what Peter says. You can save yourselves from this untoward generation. You can be a follower of Christ. You can read your Bible. The more you read your Bible, the more you're converting yourself to be a follower of Christ. That's the difference between regeneration and conversion. A lot of people in the world get them confused. They think conversion means I just saved myself eternally. Regeneration is evidence that you're a child of God, but the saving took place long before any of us were even born, long before the world were born. So, again, that's the difference between regeneration and conversion, and that's who Peter was preaching to on those on the day of Pentecost. He was preaching to those that were regenerated. Those that were not said, these people are drunk. They couldn't hear the preaching. He was preaching to those to convert them. They were converted and says, what do we do? And that's what he says in answer to that. Repent and get yourself baptized for the remissions of sins. Remissions of sins are like kind of like it used to be in the Old Testament when they'd go in and the priest would get your sins remitted for a year at a time. You get them daily. Now, I may sin next week and wipe out all the good I've done. And I can then convert and repent. And get the Lord to forgive my sins again. And the Lord will discipline me when I am sinful in that way. Isaiah lets us know, you cannot preach to the unregenerate. You can't do it. The Lord's got to prepare them. Just like he prepared the fishes. The fishes are prepared and ready to eat. And when the fishes are hungry, they'll bite. When they're hungry, when the Lord has got them ready, when he's got them in that pond and ready and hungry, they're ready to bite. And it's fun to talk to hungry people. It's fun to talk to people when you can see in their face that the Lord has regenerated them and they're listening. They want to know more about it. They want to read the Bible. They want to come to church and they want to understand. That's the regenerated. We can preach to those people. We can minister to those people. And we can help to convert those people. And we can help to convert ourselves. The difference between conversion and regeneration is a big issue among the world today. Y'all have been kind with your attention, and my prayer is the Lord will richly bless each one of you.